Hello, this is Matt Schlick from the Matt Schlick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for His people to talk with Him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James.
So today we're going to talk about the difference between gazing and glancing. But gazing at what and glancing at what? You know, that's where it really gets interesting, James.
Well, not long ago I was having a conversation with a friend who told me I spend time gazing at my worries, but only glancing at Jesus. And it needs to be the other way around. And I so appreciated her honesty because, you know, I resemble that comment. But, you know, we do that, right?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. And it's one of the things that, like, I just can't get control of sometimes, and I really would love some answers, so I'm looking forward to what you have for me today.
Well, let's go there. Let's take a moment to unpack what this looks like so we can really get a feel for it and apply it to our lives. First, gazing at our worries. Robbie, do you want to take that one?
Sure. It happens when our worries become all we can think about. Our worries consume our thoughts, or they take up most of our conversations with others. It's like they're living rent-free in our heads.
I had a conversation like that with my wife last night where she was just going on and on about this worry that she said. And you know, I began to get frustrated. I had to watch myself to handle it, you know, well. But basically just to say, look, you know, this isn't solving anything. So living rent-free, that's a good way to put it. And, you know, we go over our worries again and again, and you know, we feel like if we don't turn the whole problem over just one more time, then we're not going to find the solution. But that doesn't work. And when our focus is on the problem, we're really not in the best position faith-wise for God to help us.
Well, that's so true. And the other part of that is we only glance at God because it's as if our problems have become so big that God somehow became small. And, of course, that's not the case. It's really just a matter of our perspective.
That's exactly right. And if the truth be told, we can't expect God to do much in those circumstances because it's like, you know, Peter walking on the water. When he takes his eyes off of Jesus, things don't exactly go well. But the good thing is that even when we start to go under, we can still shift our perspective and turn to Him.
Which is, of course, exactly what Peter did. So let's talk about that.
Okay, so Peter cries out, Lord, save me. And, that's a great prayer, right? Help, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus does help him, but let's talk about what happened before Peter went under at all. You know, before those moments when he sinks, what was he doing?
I see where you're going with this. He was gazing at Jesus. He had to be because the way Matthew describes it is when he saw the wind, he was afraid. So up to that point, everything is going fine. Peter's walking on the water thinking about Jesus and how amazing he is. And he could help him do this. And then, man, those waves are looking pretty big.
Yeah, that's just it. And then he's just glancing at Jesus. You know, it's like, that wave is going to be too big for God. And we do that, don't we? I mean, even though he's been faithful and good to us in the past, and we know that, and he's gotten us through so much, it's just natural for us to do this. We only glance at God, and, you know, these other things consume us, and so we hardly give him a thought. So let's go in the other direction. Let's unpack what it looks like to gaze at God.
Oh, well, that makes me think of Psalm 27, 4 and 5, where David writes, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe.
Yeah, I love that. And that's interesting, you know, because David isn't just talking about the temple. or his desire to build it, you know, and be there. He actually uses four different words in the psalm for where God is: house, temple, dwelling, sacred tent. So really, all he's talking about is how good it is to be near God, you know, wherever he is. That's all that matters. And so he talks about gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. And much of that is figurative, because Scripture makes clear in many places we can't look on God in this life. But that word gaze in the Hebrew has a number of meanings: to behold, to prophesy. That is, you know, to perceive not just with our eyes, but with our minds as well. So David is talking about contemplating God with pleasure. And, you know, think about what you might do with a food when you really enjoy it, or you savor it, you know. You let the flavors sink in, you enjoy them, you don't let them go. That's what's going on here. David is savoring God.
Now, I love that. And it makes perfect sense, because this is something God wants us to do. You know, one of my favorite ways of savoring God or gazing on him is actually just in the morning, picturing myself laying in his arms and just like, can we just hang out?
I just love that. Yeah, absolutely. And the beautiful thing about this is that, you know, this isn't about being some kind of connoisseur. You know, it's not about finding the next detail. It's about being a little child. I mean, that's what a little child would do. You know, when I pick up my little granddaughter, she lays her head on my chest, or pats my hair or my bald head, you know, and she gives me a kiss. And, oh, I love that. Those moments are precious to me. And you can only imagine how much that means to God, who feels things so much more deeply than we do. So much of this is just about being a little child with him, resting in him, loving him, in one sense, loving on him, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it, because it's not overly complex, and you know, we tend to make it that way, but it helps even when we just think about the things we love about him, right? How he's been good to us in the past, how he's always faithful, you know, how he will outlast every problem we ever face, and that we always have him to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. We always have him to look forward to, and we can get better at this. Not, again, that we have to keep coming up with new things to think about, you know, new attributes or aspects of his character, although he'll help us discover that. But again, this is just about him, about gazing, being, you know, again, savoring. So much of this is about learning to be with him. It doesn't have to involve, you know, all this effort of complex thought.
Right. But we're about out of time, so could you pray for us today?
Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we just praise you that you want us to come to you like this, and that we can, that we can rest in you, because you are so good and so faithful. And we thank you, Lord. You hold every worry in our hands, but in your hands, but most of all, you hold us. And oh, Abba, Father, we love you. We rest in you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.
This is the Truth Network.